The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Take a look at all the teams as we continue ESPN's Fantasy Football Marathon. Sign up now. Get ready for the fantasy season either at ESPN.com/FFL or by downloading the ESPN Fantasy app right now. And we begin hour number two of our program here. It's Get Up. We come to you live every morning from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. This is just part of the squad today. Camp is here. Graziano's here. Cast of thousands. Let's roll it, Cindy. Hour number two is on the way. And it is time to get up for the Playmakers Pledge. Can this Cowboys team be the best that Dallas has ever had? Wait until you hear this right off the top. Meanwhile, Mr. Mahomes, magnificent so far. Is he about to be even scarier without his scary running mate by his side? And speaking of scary, is the next MVP being born out west as we speak? Why, this could be the beginning of something huge in the city by the bay. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with the game of the night. Yankees, Rays in Tampa. Yanks struggling of late, 2-9 in their last 11. Shut out in their previous game. And Anthony Rizzo, bottom of three, gets on base. Right, wrong. And a pitch from Ryan Yarbrough. Home plate umpire DJ Rayburn says, wait a minute, he leaned in. Graziano.
He absolutely did. This is how it should be called. You never see it. That's the Yankees' only gripe.
Rizzo not awarded first base, stays at the plate, and then things go badly. There strikes out on the slider, and that pretty much sums up the mood of all the Yankee fans. Right now, top of four, Gerrit Cole. A decent night, but this was not his best moment. This is Isak Paredes with a runner at third. Bang! Base hit. Peralta scores. Rays take a 1-0 lead. Bottom of eight, still 1-0. Yanks are right there with a chance, and they're big bat at the plate. Aaron Judge, runner at first, nobody out. That's the kind of night it was. 6-4-3. Yanks lose it. 4-0. They're really struggling. Hey, Skipper, what gives?
Obviously, we got to play better. We got to do better than that, you know. And it's hard right now. We got to find a way, and we got to keep, you know, keep digging ourselves out of this. We're getting shut down right now. That needs to change. We got to score.
Yeah, well, scoring is something the Yankees haven't been doing of late. They've now been shut out in consecutive games for the first time since September of 16. They've played 13 games in the month of August. You see it there. They've been shut out four times in the month. It's a disaster. We'll see where it's headed. We'll talk about it more later. Meanwhile, let's talk about another glamour team with struggles, the Cowboys. They led all teams over the weekend with 17 penalties in their preseason opener against the Broncos. So we could say that led the league, or we could say it was last in the league. Yesterday on First Take, Michael Irvin talked about those issues and what the Cowboys might be capable of if they're able to fix them. Listen.
If they clean up these penalties, all right, they will be chasing. Let me clear it up for you. The 7-2 Dolphins. And am I talking about the right now, Dolphins? Oh, now you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the 7-2 Dolphins. Yes, you heard what I'm saying. When you got the number one offense, clean up these penalties. You had the number one offense, number one score. You could be chasing the 7-2 Dolphins. Did Michael say something crazy?
Did Michael say something crazy? There's nothing about that clip I don't love. There's literally nothing about those 25 seconds that were not absolutely delightful on this day from the boat onward. Sacho, did Michael answer the question? Did Michael say something crazy?
Yes, he did, and more so. Michael was just speaking in hyperbole, right? Look up the definition of hyperbole or hyperbolic statement. It's an exaggerated claim or statement not meant to be taken seriously. And so Michael Irvin in this comment on the boat with Stephen A. and Orson, not meant to be taken seriously. We all know that the Cowboys aren't chasing the 72 Dolphins. Are they a really good team that needs to get better at penalties? Absolutely. Are they one of the top offenses last year and probably going to be even better on defense this year? Yes, but it's just hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. Don't take it too seriously.
Chris Canty, did he say something crazy?
Oh, no doubt he said something crazy, Greeny, and we got to take this a step further. It might be time for an intervention with the playmaker. Like, we might need to get other people involved, other resources, because this is just so far out there. I'm actually concerned about his mental well-being.
I'm hoping that I'm leaning towards Sacho State, that either he was just being hyperbolic, or maybe, you know, if he's on some kind of anti-seasickness medication, like that, maybe times, you know, that can do that to you. I've had that problem before. You know what I'm saying, Graziano?
Yeah, it could be. Look, I mean, the 72 Dolphins, like, that's, I mean, there were Hall of Famers all over the roster. Don Shula was the coach. Mike McCarthy, you know, no offense, Mike. Not Don Shula.
No, Don Shula's the winningest coach of all time.
Exactly.
And for the record, for those of you who don't know, the 72 Dolphins finished their season unbeaten. They are the only perfect Super Bowl champion in history. Mike Tannenbaum, are the Cowboys just a step or two away from that? I don't even know how to talk about this seriously. Right. So let's actually get to a serious point. Mike Tannenbaum, the last thing in the world that we expected from the Cowboys, or at least that we wanted to see from the Cowboys, was them to go out and commit 17 penalties in their preseason opener, because it just completely fans the flames of last year's theme. Now, I usually try not to get too excited or concerned about things that happen week one of the preseason. How concerned, Mike T, should we be?
We should be very concerned. At the end of last season, when they lost to the 49ers, I'm sure Jerry Jones said to Mike McCarthy, here are the answers to the test. Clock management and penalties must improve. And when Mike McCarthy goes out there and they have 17 penalties, it's the old expression, guys, he is firing himself. Jerry Jones is not going to fire Mike McCarthy. He's going to fire himself. And maybe they have to bench somebody like Tyler Smith, their first-round pick, and take away play time. But he has to do something dramatic, and he has to do it quickly, because we're not talking about an end-of-the-season change, guys. This is a very talented team. This could be a necessity of changing coaches sometime before Thanksgiving, in terms of if they're falling behind the Philadelphia Eagles, because despite their losses, this is a very talented team with the best quarterback in the division.
A reminder that their defensive coordinator is Dan Quinn, who was a successful head coach, took a team to a Super Bowl once. Their offensive coordinator, Kellen Clemens, everybody loves and thinks that he could wind up being a head coach someday, if not soon. So how do we assess that? Where do we go with that?
Look, I mean, you're right. Let's not overreact to a preseason game, right? There's backups in there. There's mistakes being made. That's the nature of training camp and the preseason. It doesn't mean they're going to lead the league in penalties again. However, they did lead the league in penalties last year. It was a major problem for them, and it's very bad timing for Mike McCarthy that they come out in their first preseason game and their biggest problem from last year is their biggest problem in the game. People will necessarily draw from that. If you think Mike McCarthy should not be the coach of the team, this is fodder for that. Mm-hmm. If you think he should, it makes your case harder. Obviously, this is not what they want. They're practicing every day. You would think it would be a point of emphasis, right? Like, let's yep. not go out there and commit 17 penalties in the first preseason game with the whole world watching, and yet they did.
Yeah, if you do nothing else, go out there and play a clean football game with no penalties, right? Having those penalties, it's a lack of discipline, and that's a reflection on the head coach. And the unfortunate part about that is you usually don't see those characteristics, those issues get cleaned up unless you move on from the head coach. There has to be a change at the top to send a clear message throughout the organization that this is not something that we're going to stand for. The only problem with the Dallas Cowboys is their first-round draft pick, Tyler Smith, Mel Kiper's breakdown on him said, yeah, this guy's a penalty waiting to happen. Mm. So they're bringing more people like this within their organization. What message does that send to your locker room? You have to be concerned about it. In that game against the Denver Broncos, they went into the fourth quarter with more penalty yards than they did total yards on offense. That is a problem, Graz. This is a less talented team than they were a year ago. It's going to be hard to overcome all of those self-inflicted wounds.
Do you do something drastic like that? I mean, we've seen it in the course of time over the years. Coaches will do something drastic to send a message to a roster. I don't know specifically what it is. Sam is talking about the possibility of benching a really good player. Do you feel it has gotten to that point where they need to do something like that soon?
Yeah, they've got to send a message. Now, I'm not sure that Mike McCarthy is going to be able to effectively do that just because of what we saw all of last year and what he tolerated. And Acho made a great point, because every single coach in the National Football League says this. You're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. And so we've seen it all last year, there's enough of a sample size for that to be showing up in the preseason after you've had 3 weeks of practicing. You start to wonder, what exactly is the coaching staff of the Dallas Cowboys teaching this team in terms of being able to avoid penalties?
Go ahead, Saj.
Just practice it. It's not that hard. Like, we're over here talking, oh, we fire the coach, send him – just practice it, guys. Like, I'm thinking about some of my little league coaches or friends who I know who live in Dallas, Cowboys fans that coach football of seventh graders. If you have a lot of penalties, you practice it. You do something different, right? If you're holding on defense, DBs, you'll put on these boxing gloves so you cannot hold while you're covering somebody. If you're at practice, NFL, you could actually hire referees to come and referee your practices and call it tight like they do it in games. Don't fire your coach. Just practice it. Make it a point of emphasis. Do something, because this is – like little league stuff is what we're seeing, right? 14 penalties in the playoff loss, right? 17 in the preseason game, 266 over the last couple years. Little league stuff. For me, like, I grew up in Dallas, right? So I'm not really a Cowboys fan, so people may not like me, but just practice it. Just practice, guys. Like, Mike McCarthy, work on this. Make it a point of emphasis. Don't just brush it off. Literally do something about it. And that's why everyone's kind of upset, because you're not doing anything about it.
And very quickly, to correct the record, Kellen Moore, of course, is the offensive coordinator. I knew I was saying it wrong as it was coming out of my mouth, but it wasn't coming to me. Kellen Clemens, I think, is the quarterback Mike Tannenbaum drafted for the New York Jets once upon a time. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. Second round pick out of Oregon.
How'd that work out?
not so well, but he was a great teammate.
I know how it worked out.
About as good as this punt catch. Worked out about as good as that punt he tried to catch.
Oh, yeah. And let the record show. That was really an inappropriate move by me. I'm the one who said the name wrong on the air, and I turned it into a slap at Tannenbaum, which is a great – it's great deflecting. You know what? I'm doing what Mike McCarthy needs to do, is that I saw a problem, and I said, you know what? I'm going to address it. I'm going to change the topic so dramatically that people will forget
under the bus.
The idiot thing that Greeny said when he got the guy's name wrong, and instead they're going to focus on Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, McCarthy deflected, though. He tried to deflect rather than address it, right? He talked about only having two missed tackles in that preseason game on special teams and defense rather than the 17 penalties.
Perhaps if he had misidentified his own offensive coordinator, we wouldn't be talking about the penalties quite so
much.
Fair point. That's the magic of what we're doing here. All right, let me take a short break on that thought. We'll continue working on this. Coming up, he enters this season without one of his go-to guys. So why do all of our experts think Patrick Mahomes might be even better this year? We're talking about it then. As the days pass and no new deal is on the table for Lamar Jackson, is there a scenario where he's not on the field week one? We've got a lot of questions to answer, and we will as we roll on. Let's get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back. Hey, Chris Canty, I want you to help me judge two pieces of video. So we had some fun with this earlier this morning. It's old, but this is an old but a goodie.
It doesn't get old, though, Greeny. That's the best part about it. It doesn't get old. It's funny every single time you see it.
That's right. That's Mike Tannenbaum fielding a punt and not particularly
Or not fielding
well.
A punt, yeah.
Correct. But who did it better? Who did it less gracefully? That or our buddy That's Shefty? Let's go back him. Through the mists of time. This is Shefty. You see, he makes a catch off a jugs machine.
Yep.
But then he gets cocky. He says, give me another one. Give me another one. And so TJ puts the ball in there, and then this happens. Down he goes. Oh, which this one is of those do you like better?
This is an easy one for me, Greeny. I'm going with Shefty. It was better because he held on to the football. He actually completed the catch.
It's true.
By any standard.
That's
right. I mean,
right.
You look at Mike Tannenbaum, he dropped the punt, and then he does a somersault backwards. What is that? He rolls over on his head. It's ridiculous. That might be the most unathletic thing I've ever seen on a football field, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, you've never seen me out there. Go ahead, Tannenbaum.
I won the competition. It has to be addressed again. I caught more punts than Rex. Rex was happy to got the right footage, so I just want to set the record straight.
Can I just say, I know Rex, I love Rex, but to say you caught more punts than him is not winning a competition.
Yeah, that's a low bar to
meaningful
clear.
Kind. Exactly. All right, it's the game that's sweeping the nation. It's canny or canty. So I'm going to talk somebody, say something about the NFL, and you're going to tell me if they can or they can't. You ready? Here we go.
I'm ready.
The Colts can go to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan as their quarterback. Canny or canty?
They can, Greeny. They can. Listen, first of all, they're playing in the AFC South, right? That's a relatively low bar to clear. But then you're also looking at Matt Ryan being their quarterback. It's been a revolving door for Frank Reich at the quarterback position the last 4 years. He's finally going to get competent quarterback play. Aside from Andrew Luck, this will be the best quarterback he would have had since he became the coach of the Colts. Look at that with Jonathan Taylor as an MVP candidate in a defense that's built like a brick wall. I love the Colts to go on a deep playoff run.
Me too. But let's go to another interesting team. If I were to say Jameis Winston can lead the Saints to an NFC South title, can he or can't he?
He can't. Can't. With a capital T at the end of it. Let me tell you something, man. Here's the thing. Everybody wants to ride for the Saints with Jameis Winston, but that was when Sean Payton was the head coach. He had that good 7-game sample size. I don't know that we're going to see that same Jameis Winston that can take care of the football like we did early on last year. You couple that with Alvin Kamara potentially missing the beginning of the season and not having Sean Payton on the sideline, I just don't have a lot of faith that the Saints are going to be able to compete with the Bucs.
All right, I want to ask you one about Patrick Mahomes. We all know he's going to be without his longtime favorite target, the speedy Tyreek Hill. So if I were to say, can Patrick Mahomes win an MVP award without Tyreek Hill, can he or can't he?
He can. I'm not going to bet against Pat Mahomes, especially when he has Andy Reid as his play caller and Eric Bieniemy as his play designer. I get that he's going to be missing one of the most dangerous weapons in the National Football League, but I trust this contingent to be able to figure this thing out. And with the upgrades that they were able to make on the defensive side of the ball, I think they'll have an opportunity to complement what that offense does, be able to make steal some extra possessions, create field position. So I like Pat Mahomes to be able to win another MVP.
Yeah, the distribution of the ball and all of the not being so certain what they're going to do. He's talked a lot about that. He told Graziano something about it when Dan was there at camp recently. And now he had another quote that we liked from Peter King that he said when Patrick Mahomes said, when you have a guy as special as Tyreek, when you get any type of man coverage, you're kind of saying forget the read. Now the thing is, you don't know where that go-to guy is going to be every single game. It's going to be hard for defenses to game plan against. So that's sort of an interesting way of looking at this thing. I feel like there's been a lot of talk coming out of Kansas City about how much better, how much more difficult to stop or difficult to figure out the Chiefs' offense might be in the absence of Tyreek Hill. Part of me feels like that's just something you say to yourself mm-hmm. when you've lost someone like Tyreek Hill. How about it, Sacha? Are the Chiefs, in a unique kind of way, could they be scarier to face now as a defense because you don't know where they're trying to get you?
I would say no for now. And the reason why is Tyreek Hill is a proven commodity, a proven winner, a proven... in the NFL consistently. And so could Sky Moore do that as a rookie? Maybe. Could Juju Smith maybe have a resurgence in his career? Possibly. I believe so. Could Marquez Valdez-Scantling be that guy on a bigger scale than he did in Green Bay? Maybe. But if I'm a defender and I'm defending against Tyreek Hill, I'm circling him on my game plan and saying we have to stop this guy. That's why some say, well, it's going to be harder to stop now. And maybe it will be down the line. But early on, week one, week two, week three, until those guys prove it to me, I'm still more scared of what Tyreek Hill was in Kansas City more than the other pieces.
Again, you were there, Dan, and had some of these conversations with Mahomes and with the coaching staff. I do wonder if that's the kind of thing of which you try to convince yourself when you lose a player like Tyreek Hill.
Well, it may well be, but there's logic in what Mahomes is saying, right? Like, he told me, like, when I'd line up and I see the matchup on Kelce or the matchup on Tyreek, I'd just say, look, forget the read. I know that guy's going to win that matchup, so I'm going to go to him. And now he doesn't feel like he's going to have that luxury as much, so he'll go through the progressions and it'll be more important for him to be more precise. But might turn him into a better quarterback long term. Remember, still a young player, as great as he's been. There's still, you still want to see improvement in young players. But yeah, Andy Reid, when I talked to him, he said, like, the thing with Patrick is, you know, he's got the mentality he wants to rip your heart out. So when that play down the field is there, he and Tyreek felt the same way. They're going to take it. He said, but this, and by the way, last year, remember, they were getting that high coverage and they had to adjust. Right. They had to adjust. And they feel like that experience will help them this year because, you know, he kind of learned how to go through the reads, take what was there a little bit more. So, yes, they're talking optimistically, but it's nothing that doesn't sound realistic either.
Here's the thing. By anyone else's standards, Patrick Mahomes is coming off a phenomenal season.
That's right.
By his own, he is not, because the standard he has set is as good as anyone has ever been in the history of the game. So, Mike T, can this become a progression back towards that, or towards something new that might even be better than what we've seen in the past?
Absolutely. This offense will become more efficient and less explosive, but in a lot of ways, they're going to be harder to defend because, as these guys alluded to, all he has to do is play point guard. And some games, I think, Ronald Jones, who's very good out of the backfield, could be Travis Kelce, Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Valdez-Scantling. They have so many weapons that if he just goes through his progressions and see where the strength of the defense is, I think this offense will have a lot more 8 to 10 play drives and be efficient. Maybe the yards per attempt comes down. But overall, they're still going to be a very formidable offense.
So I guess that's the question, Chris Canty, is are you more worried about it when you don't know what's coming or when you know what's coming but you don't really think you can stop it anyway?
Well, I think Pat Mahomes has a chance to be more dangerous because defenses are underselling what this Kansas City Chiefs offense can be. And listening to what Mike Tannenbaum just said, like, this was an offense that was forced to be patient last year because of them facing those two high safeties looks. No offense had more plays per drive than the Kansas City Chiefs. So they were forced to kind of go the long, hard way in a lot of senses because of the looks that the defense was getting with Tyreek Hill being out wide. Now that he's not there, Greeny, that creates a lot more one-on-one opportunities, a lot more man coverage, and Pat Mahomes has the potential to burn defenses because, again, you're not thinking that this is an explosive outfit without Tyreek Hill. So I think there's a potential for Pat Mahomes to elevate the play of those guys that they have in that receiving core, and that's what would put him in the driver's seat to potentially win another MVP.
Well, look, they've been one of the most fun offenses to watch in league history the last few years. I'm very interested to see what it looks like this coming season. With the people involved, you know it'll be good, but I have no idea what to expect it to look like. As we continue, we're going to go live to Foxborough, Massachusetts. The Panthers and the Patriots have a joint practice going on. There's a lot of eyes on the quarterbacks on both sides. A lot to get through there, and we will take you there live in just a few minutes. And then we've got this. Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano. It's a great battle. We've got the fantasy marathon going today, so here's the question. Who scored the most fantasy points in a season as a rookie? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back on Get Up. Today is the Fantasy Football Marathon, so Hembo's question today is fantasy football related. Who scored the most fantasy points, Graziano, in a rookie season?
This is PPR scoring, so your mind goes to the pass-catching running back, right? So you're thinking like McCaffrey or Saquon, somebody had a big rookie year. Or I was even thinking way back to like Randy Moss had a monster rookie year, a whole bunch of touchdowns. But quarterbacks score the most fantasy points, Greeny. And Cam Newton set a rushing record as a rookie quarterback, and I believe he scored enough touchdowns that he is the answer to this question. Cam Newton.
He's third.
Oh, good guess. Come on.
But you talked yourself out of the answer. It is Saquon Barkley.
It was Saquon. All right, well,
in
I really thought I had
correct.
That one, too.
My guess, was Eric Dickerson,
that's
which was back
guess.
In 1983. He's second.
He's second.
Then Cam, Edgerrin James, and then Justin Herbert. So that was a fair one. I like to discredit Hembo's win.
Oh, no, that was a
fair question and a good
100%.
One. 20-16 is now the score. Marcus Beers is in the room, by the way. He got it right yesterday. Oh, that was a highlight Swagoo. Of the show for sure. Look at Swagoo. Good to see him. All right, we'll see him later. Let's go to Cam because we're going to take it live now to the Patriots-Panthers joint practice. I wanted to see some of the pictures of the live things that are going on. There are a lot of people. I'm hearing from coaches, former players, and others, including those from the Patriots themselves, that these joint practices are more valuable than the preseason games, as evidenced by the fact that the Patriots are getting a lot of work out of Mac Jones at these joint practices and not playing him in the preseason games. And some of the pictures that we will see here will be of the quarterback competition in Carolina between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And you were telling me this morning that you believe that is, I don't want to say an easy answer, but that it is clearly leaning one way.
Look, it sounds like it's leaning toward Baker, assuming he picks up the offense, which it sounds like he is doing. I mean, logically, this is a team that had Sam Darnold all last year and all this offseason, and then right before training camp, traded for Baker Mayfield. So it tells you they're looking for something better than Darnold, and it sounds like, talking to people there, that they're getting it so far. I would favor Baker to win that competition at this stage.
All right, and again, we'll be able to take you live there and see some of the work that they're getting done there. Is that your expectation here, Chris Canty? This is a team, I think there's pressure on the coaching staff. There's the new ownership there, still relatively new there with, we believe, high expectations. A team I think we could see going in either direction, maybe depending on the quarterback play. Do you expect it to be Baker?
I do expect it to be Baker because the organization let it be known this offseason that they were interested in other quarterbacks because they had seen enough from Sam Darnold. Think about what they gave the Jets in order to acquire Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
For the organization to pivot that quickly and decide that they need to bring somebody else into that quarterback room, that just lets you know that Matt Rhule and the coaching staff aren't satisfied with what they've seen from Darnold.
And those are the Panthers quarterbacks live right now. Again, these pictures are live from this joint workout, and there you see Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold getting their work. And again, that's the competition as they will go. Obviously, very recognizable Baker Mayfield there. You see him without the hat on, and that was Darnold behind him, and they're going through some of their drills. So that's what we're seeing from the Carolina Panthers. I know, Mike Tannenbaum, but you were very interested in what we will see from the Patriots, and in particular with Mac Jones on the field, on this practice field, in this joint workout, and how it will be handled. So much attention being paid to how they're coaching the offense, who's going to be calling plays and all the rest of that. What will you be watching for if you were in control of these cameras today, Mike T?
Yeah, Greeny, you alluded to it earlier, which is joint practices now are as important or if not more important than these preseason games. So in the competitive team periods, it'll be really interesting to see who actually has the walkie-talkie to Mac Jones, because these are real simulations. Now, obviously, you're not going to hit the quarterback, but play clock, getting in and out of the huddle, understand what the other side's doing defensively. These are very competitive periods. So who is calling the plays into Mac Jones today is actually consequential and could give us a real sense of who Coach Belichick is thinking may call plays, especially early in the season.
Yeah, we have Matt Patricia and Joe Judge there, and the duties being divided up some way between the two of them, and it's not been made clear what they're going to do. It's not even been made clear that they know yet exactly what they're going to do. Sam, how big a deal is that? I read so much about the coaching piece of this after their preseason game. How big a deal is it ultimately to their season, who calls the plays and how they handle it?
I think it's a huge deal, but not necessarily who calls the plays, but the fact that someone other than Josh McDaniels is going to be calling the plays. You have two, what it looks like, first-time offensive play callers, and I think it's going to be difficult when you have someone with such a breadth of experience and knowledge who has seen everything, not only from an offensive side, but from a play-calling side and a offensive game-planning side. That guy is no longer there, and so that, for me, is a pretty big deal because we don't know what Joe Judge or Matt Patricia is going to be like as an offensive mind, as an offensive play caller, as an offensive game planner, as we did know what Josh McDaniels was and what he did for Mac Jones' rookie season.
It will be interesting to see how that goes. There's so much, it's so easy to default to and logical. Well, Bill Belichick is there and he's done it all. Mm-hmm. And you have ultimately all the confidence in the world that if he's doing it, it's because it's going to work, and he deserves that. So we'll see how their season gets going. Again, we'll try and show you some more live pictures from that workout as the day continues. Meanwhile, really, a lot of attention right now is focused on Baltimore, and for all the worst reasons, Lamar Jackson's contract situation continues to make headlines this offseason. Pardon me, I sneezed. After Saturday's practice, Lamar Jackson confirmed for the first time that he will cut off talks by week one of the regular season, which is less than 4 weeks away. So Dan Graziano, they have now attached, we've always known that the beginning of the season was a deadline, but there's no law that says, and there isn't a league rule to be clear, that says you have to stop negotiating. But frequently they do. What do you make of Lamar saying this publicly?
Well, it's nothing to sneeze at. I know that. it's the kind of thing you could say as a negotiating tool, and maybe it helps get a deal done, right? But I believe that he doesn't want it to go into the season, right? I believe the Ravens don't want it to go into the season. So he's probably just answering a question honestly here when he says that. In terms of where things stand, you know, you still have three, 4 weeks till the season starts, right? So you have the time. Remember, the new preseason schedule, there's extra time between the final preseason game and the start of the season. There's been a theory around the league, it hasn't shown up yet, that maybe some more business like this might get transacted in that interim time. Maybe when teams are, the rosters have been cut down, they're less focused on all that. So look out for that. But look, I mean, he has a sense of what he wants. And they're obviously not there yet. If they get there, great. If they don't, I really think he's going to go into this season, play this out, dare them to franchise him next year and go down that road.
He can do that, right? And sure. And so he's got the leverage of, I don't have to sign an extension. I'm already making a lot of money, certainly as compared to what he's made in the past for this final year of his rookie deal. And we've seen everyone from Kirk Cousins to Dak Prescott do it successfully. The other side of it, of course, is the Ravens. Their leverage is you don't want to run the risk. You don't want to put any – if there's the possibility of having $250 million on the table, that's always – so where is the leverage, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask you here. In your opinion, who's in control of this negotiation, Canty?
Well, the leverage is with Lamar because he's clearly comfortable playing in the final year of his contract, and you typically don't see that with NFL players because they want the security in terms of being able to protect themselves if an injury happens. Lamar Jackson ain't worried about that. And I understand why he's not worried about it, because he saw Dak Prescott several years ago get a bag after coming off of a season where his ankle and his kneecap were facing different directions. Now, I get it. Lamar Jackson is a different kind of quarterback than Dak Prescott is, but Lamar Jackson is still a 25-year-old MVP that's taken his team to the playoffs three of the 4 years he's been the starting quarterback. There are going to be teams that are lined up for Lamar Jackson's services if the Ravens aren't willing to give him his money. So if you're Lamar, you're sitting back and waiting to see what else happens, to see what the Ravens will do. But I completely understand why he's not signing a contract offer that wouldn't make him the highest paid player in the NFL in terms of average annual value and in terms of guaranteed money.
Tannenbaum, I mean, you've lived these negotiations a million times. How would you assess the leverage in this one?
It's all with Lamar right now. And Chris Canty made a great point last hour, which is this. When Deshaun Watson signed for $230 million, all Lamar had to do is walk in with or without an agent, put his feet up on Steve Bisciotti's desk and say, I am not taking 5 cents less. I'm a league MVP. You traded up for me in the first round. We've changed the offense. We've been wildly successful. And I am not taking anything less than Deshaun Watson. The good news is, if we do this ASAP, I don't want anything more. But as soon as Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert get more, my number's only going up. So, Greeny, I think time is actually on Lamar Jackson's side. And if I'm Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, I'm going beyond my comfort zone now because I want to stabilize the future of this franchise with Lamar Jackson. And if they get through the year and now we're going into a franchise situation, Lamar Jackson's leverage just continues to go up.
Pick it, Sacho.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And here's the beauty of what Lamar Jackson's doing. He's not holding out, right? A lot of people would say, well, you should hold out and you should sacrifice. He's like, dude, I care about ball. I want to go win, right? I care about, yes, this number. I know exactly what I want. And I'm still going to play because I believe in this team. I believe in myself. Like, I love everything about what Lamar Jackson is doing, because even if the unthinkable happens and he gets injured, we've seen people still get paid after an injury. Even if the thinkable happens and he wins an MVP or plays dominantly this season, we know that that money that he asked for this year is going to go up next year. And so for me, I love the unselfishness that Lamar Jackson is showing in the fact that he's saying, I'm still going to play for my team and help our team win.
Look, he's done everything right. You can't do everything right any more than he's done everything right from the minute that he got there. As a fan who has no other horse in the race, you'd like to see that rewarded. And so maybe it will be. We'll see. They've got 4 weeks to get that figured out. Meanwhile, the WNBA playoffs tip off tomorrow. We've got a doubleheader, and the new format means the first round's best of three. You got the Liberty. They're the 7th seed taking on the Chicago Sky, which is the 2 seed at 8 Eastern. Then you have the 8 seed Phoenix taking on the Las Vegas Aces, who are the number 1 seed headed into the dance. It's all on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, is the next MVP being born out west as we speak? Why, this could be the beginning of something huge in the city by the bay. Don't miss it. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon.
Hey, Field Yates here with the tips and tricks you need to dominate the season. My suggestion? Do your research. And there's no better place to start than the ESPN Fantasy app with the Fantasy Focus podcast and all the latest projections from Mike Clay. Need more? We provide the sleepers, busts, and breakouts you need to know, and now you can download our cheat sheet straight from the app to your phone. Want to put your skills to the test? Join our beginner, pro, or expert mock draft to compete against players of the same caliber. Targeting a specific player? We've got you covered. Just use the Draft Q feature to stay on track and never miss the right pick. It's so easy, you can draft from anywhere. Just go to ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app now.
That's right. ESPN Fantasy Football, the number one fantasy game. Season's around the corner. Get your league started now. ESPN.com/FantasyFootball. A few moments ago, we showed you some live work there between the Panthers and Patriots. And there, of course, is Mac Jones. He has made his way out onto the practice field. So as our buddy Brent would say, you are looking live at Mac Jones and all the questions surrounding who will be in his ear calling plays when this team's season begins. We'll see who's got the walkie-talkie as they begin this workout today. Meanwhile, season's around the corner. We're just 3 weeks away. So let's run through some bold predictions. Graz, who's your pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
This one's for you, Greeny. It's Breece Hall of the Jets. They took him at the top end of the second round because they felt like they needed to beef up the run game, and this is a special player. I think he's going to get the ball a lot.
Yes, I love him. The question is who's going to be handing it to him. We'll find that out. But Breece Hall, I agree with you. A lot of reason to be excited. Sacho, you're next. Bold prediction. Who's the defensive player of the year going to be?
I'll go Micah Parsons, and it's not that bold. He won defensive rookie of the year last year. He had 13 sacks, but more importantly, he had pressures on 21% of his pass rushers. That led the NFL. He's more than just a defensive end. He's a linebacker. He can play on the back end. He can play at corner. He can do it all. I think he will win MVP, and it's not even that bold.
Yeah, I'm actually with that all the way. Mike T, give me one. Who's your MVP pick?
Easiest decision you have to make, Justin Herbert. They have great skill players, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. They got another offensive lineman to go with your Rashawn Slater from a year ago and Zion Johnson. He is a superstar in the making. He's the best player in football, and he will easily be the league MVP.
Yes. I don't know anyone who loves anything or anyone the way Mike Tannenbaum loves Justin Herbert.
Football.
But he was right. I mean, at the end of the day, he was the one guy leading into that draft who was banging the drum, take him ahead of Tua. Yeah. And at least for this moment, it looks like that was right. We'll see if he's right on this one as well. Meanwhile, speaking of bold predictions, on ESPN.com, our colleague Bill Barnwell gave one. He said Trey Lance could be the MVP this year. He wrote, one player who barely played last season but might be an MVP candidate is Lance, as was the case with Patrick Mahomes. Projecting Lance to be a superstar in year two is about both the player and what's around him. Lance is the perfect fit for Shanahan, whose best quarterback as an offensive play caller has been Matt Ryan. Lance is about to have a special season. So, where will I start? Canty, I'll start with you.
Yep.
Graziano does his bit, you know, overreaction or not. Is that an overreaction to what we should expect on Trey Lance this year?
No, it's not an overreaction. And even
MVP caliber season.
Yeah, I think that's what we can expect from Trey Lance. And I know you guys left me out of the bold prediction, but my bold prediction for this season is that the 49ers will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. That's how confident I am in this 49ers team and the development of Trey Lance because of who's doing it, Kyle Shanahan, and what's around him, the supporting cast. You're talking about a top five run game, a top five skill position core, and a top five defense. Like all the elements are there for Trey Lance to be successful. And the thing that Trey Lance brings is a couple of new dimensions to the offense. The vertical passing game. We saw that in the preseason game with the bomb he threw to Danny Gray. And then the quarterback as a focal point of the running game. Kyle Shanahan hasn't had either one of those things since he got to San Francisco. So now you're talking about giving one of the best play callers, one of the most creative play designers, a weapon like this under center to go along with all the other weapons he has. Look out for the rest of the NFL. The 49ers are about to show up in a big way.
So there's so many things about that, what you said that I completely agree with. But he came out in the first draft that I ever hosted. So I've never studied anything like I studied him. Yep. To be clear, because most people have not seen him play because of where he went to college and the fact that he didn't play last year. The skill set is off the charts. Josh Allen is the one everyone compares him to. Size, arm strength, all the rest of that. But he played very little college football, mm-hmm. extraordinarily little, including the fact that his team scheduled one game his final year because of the COVID situation just so he could get a showcase. Sacho, does that make this premature, I guess? Not that he will ultimately be great, but that this year it's just too much to ask.
No, not even close. And Greeny, you covered the draft, so you got a chance to watch some of his tape from college. Even though it wasn't extensive, all he did was win. Even in college, at the FCS level, all he did was win. He came to the NFL, and he took his time, got a couple reps last year, played in two games, started two games, and he found ways to win. And then in the preseason, he's gotten better and better and better. What stood out to me the most was in that preseason game, not the throw to Danny Gray, but that second play of the game where there was pressure, and he tucked it and he ran, even though his eyes were still down the field. That's a dynamic that Kyle Shanahan hasn't had really since RG3 when he's offensive coordinator. And so for in Washington. And so for me, you have a quarterback who has this skill set that an offensive coordinator like Kyle Shanahan loves. And so I think it's by no means a far-fetched estimation to say that Trey Lance could be an MVP.
Mike T, give me a quick thought.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress. Peter King wrote it yesterday. He's only thrown 389 passes since high school. I love him long-term, but the quarterback position is a developmental position. Guys like Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, they struggled early. I don't think he's an MVP candidate this year, but I love him long-term.
Graziano, final word. Yeah, I mean, Kyle's betting on himself here, right? RG3 was offensive rookie of the year that year that he had him in Washington. Mm-hmm. And by the way, at the same time, he was also developing Kirk Cousins into a real NFL starter who was a rookie at that time too. So, yeah, I think it's they have a good enough group around him that they think they can have a good team. And if that's the case and he performs well, it's not far-fetched. I think it's more down the road with Trey Lance than this year.
We will see.
MVP.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Acho, Mike T, outstanding today. As always, we'll take a short break. We got to get set. First Take is coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Top of the hour. Cowboys still loaded. Who's the most important player on their roster? Stephen A., Swagoo, Molly, debating that and more. First Take follows us. Top of the hour here on ESPN. All right, we're back on Get Up, and we'll finish where we started. The Cowboys had 17 penalties in their preseason opener against the Broncos. That's not good. Yesterday on First Take, Michael Irvin was telling Stephen A. and Molly just how good he thinks the Cowboys might be if they get that figured out.
If they clean up these penalties, all right, they will be chasing. Let me clear it up for you. The 7-2 Dolphins. And am I talking about the right now, Dolphins? Oh, now you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the 7-2 Dolphins. Yes, you heard what I'm saying. When you got the number one offense, clean up these penalties. You had the number one offense, number one score. You should be chasing
Michael.
The 7-2 Dolphins. Did Michael say something crazy?
Okay, so all morning long, it has been next to impossible to focus on what he said because they're on a boat and yeah. Molly's wearing a captain's hat and Stephen A. is wearing an orange suit. And he's Michael. And we all understand he is known to say some bombastic things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the question is, let's say they get the penalties figured out. Just how good actually are they, Chris Canty?
I don't think they're good enough to win the division. I think they have a shot to be a wild card team. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, the offseason losses that they suffered, losing Lyle Collins as a cap casualty, losing Connor Williams in free agency, losing Randy Gregory in free agency, all of a sudden now you're talking about the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball being significantly depleted from the group that we saw in 2021. Couple that with the early injury to Tyron Smith in training camp, dealing with another ankle, a guy that hasn't stayed healthy for a full season since 2015, and the Cowboys have some serious problems to have to overcome. Never mind the fact that their head coach has game management issues. Never mind the fact that they're the most penalized team in the NFL. They still have some issues from a personnel standpoint that I think it'll make it tough for them to get to where Jerry Jones wants them to go.
What you just saw there were the odds from Caesars. The Cowboys are still the favorites to win the division, but not by a wide margin. What do you think?
So you think they're more likely to go 16-1 than 17-0?
Yeah, now that would be that. It's a, that's
based
a,
on
I'm
all
glad
that.
You cleared that up, Groz. There we go.
I didn't look this up. Maybe Hembo can check. My understanding is that the undefeated 72 Dolphins did, in fact, win their division.
Yeah.
I believe that to be the case.
Yeah, that happened.
So look,
yeah.
Even if you have high hopes for this year's Cowboys, that is way, way beyond. I don't know how good they actually are.
Well, that's really the question. I mean, all of the conversation we had today suggested to me that a perfect season is unlikely.
It's unlikely.
In Dallas. It feels unlikely. But, Michael, you never know. There's a chance. Anyway, the three of us are going to stay right here. In exactly 60 seconds, we'll be coast to coast live on ESPN Radio with you. In the meantime, right here, the TV is going across the hall. First Take starts now.